One and all, once again to Dual Wielding episode 15, our first podcast of 2011. I guess we should start off with, we haven't really been here since way before Christmas, so anybody getting any shiny new games for Christmas?
I've played War for Cybertron, and I've played and completed Vanquish, and I played and completed Medal of Honor, if that counts.
It does. Was it as good as Call of Duty?
Let's just say I rate Call of Duty Black Ops at a 9 out of 10, and Medal of Honor at 6 out of 10.
So, I'm going to say short, no.
Nowhere near.
Why did you get Medal of Honor? I remember you were raging on that game as well.
because it was cheap. And...
That's how you buy your prostitutes, not your video games.
Hey, I bought Vanquish dirt cheap. I paid £12 for it. £12. And it only came out in like October or something. And it was worth every penny. The dialogue in that game is brilliant.
But it's also like 5 minutes long.
Yeah, but I didn't mind that actually. It didn't need to be any longer.
I guess that's a good thing.
And War for Cybertron is surprisingly good, considering I don't know anything about the Transformers universe.
I kind of had this. I mean, granted, I've seen the Michael Bay movies, so
I haven't even seen them.
I probably know less than I did going in. But yeah, because technically speaking, I believe War for Cybertron serves as an origin for the entire series.
Yeah.
So you know, you don't really.
Well, considering spoiler alert, Optimus becomes Optimus Prime in the game, so.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What was I going to say? What did you, how did you play? Did you alternate between the Decepticons and Autobots, or did you do all?
I did it in order, so you play the Decepticons, then the Autobots.
Okay. Because they were taught in it, like, you know, you can switch between a Decepticon
and
Autobots.
Yeah, I just played it in order, because that way there was a distinct order to it.
Yeah, the story goes in that order that you played the Decepticons first, and then the Autobots kind of start from there.
Although I did notice that, you know, in the character, when it asks you what characters you want to play as,
Yeah. There
is absolutely no reason to play as Soundwave or the equivalent to Soundwave on the Autobot side. And there is also no reason not to play as Optimus and no reason not to play as Megatron.
Except for Megatron's not Starscream, so quit your blasphemy.
You can't.
That's different.
The times where you can play as Starscream, you can't play as Megatron. So
oh,
it doesn't matter.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's either you're a ground based
vehicle
transformer or
the air ones. Yeah.
You don't have. It's not like you can pick and choose, because why would you pick ground based when you can fly?
Yeah. Although I did note that when you're the flying based ones, there is no reason to not go round as a plane.
Well, there are times where...
There are times where they make you walk, but that's it.
Yeah.
Other times I just flew around everywhere, because it was more fun.
Yeah, I'm really a big nerd with that, but I love just jumping in the air and pressing the button so you can transform in midair.
Yeah.
And you get that cool sound effect. But yeah, it's a surprisingly good game. Sadly enough, I do not believe the sequel... I mean, I don't believe the game that's tied into the movie. I assume there's a movie tie-in.
There is. They are bad, apparently.
So,
but, you know.
So I guess next year, when they come out with War for Cybertron 2, or whatever they call it.
I'm buying that.
Yeah, I'm just going to wait until Comic-Con for Activision to give it to me for free. But since I get $1 every time I mention it now.
The biggest thing that I noted with the games that I bought is that EA say that they need to make a game that's going to be more successful than Call of Duty. It needs to be better. And I laughed because Medal of Honor is by no means that game.
Yeah, I don't think EA should be chasing Activision.
The game is... I don't think they should either, because I think that Battlefield is a strong enough franchise.
I think
and
they
it's
just need
different to Call of Duty.
They need to kind of find... Like, they have a thing going with, like, Dead Space.
And like,
had a thing with going with Dead Space Mirror.
Seriously, Medal of Honor, there is a lot of things that just do not make sense whatsoever. Why have a multiplayer that's completely different to the single player? What, I mean, it's not like the multiplayer is that good either. Dive, it's obvious that DICE rushed it and half-assed it. So,
Can you blame them? Anything
but,
else?
not really. I've been playing miscellaneous PC games. I bought Just Cause 2, which is fun, once I put infinite ammo on, because that game is too hard.
So it's kind of like GTA, where people just kind of enjoy breaking it more than they enjoy playing it.
The problem with the thing is GTA's difficulty is spot on, whereas Just Cause 2 is just a clusterfuck of people, and if you get in a helicopter, then that's it. They send like 3 helicopters after you. It's so hard.
That's what she said. I couldn't help myself. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's natural. That's a terrible thing to admit, that it's ingrained in me that it automatically comes out. But what about you, Chad?
Steam. Steam did their Steam holiday sale thing again. So,
how odd is it that they do a holiday sale every holiday?
Yeah. Deal. So I picked up The Misadventures of PB Winterbottom, which
I didn't buy that. It was like 40 cents.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
But it's there. I tried to play Battlefield Bad Company 2, and then I realized my laptop was actually just going to snap in half. I played it any longer. And so, yeah. But it was pretty fun from what I played of the first level. Fallout New Vegas. I put some time into that, actually.
Okay, I have to ask, how many times has it frozen on you? Not if, but how many?
See, it hasn't.
Oh, actually. Wow.
Yeah, I have the PC version as well, and the only times it's crashed on me are when I've loaded it with conflicting mods.
Okay, yeah. It always freezes when I quit. Like, when I go to quit game, it'll freeze, and I have to...
Which is quite funny.
Yeah. But other than that, it's been fine, which makes sense, because I've heard that out of all the versions, the PC one's probably the most stable. That's fun. It's totally more Fallout 3, which I'm fine with, because that game was pretty badass.
I want the DLC, though.
Yeah.
I was really pissed off. And the funny thing is Microsoft did that in the hopes that they would get people to buy it on 360, whereas people who were gonna buy it on PC were gonna buy it for the mods, and obviously that's something you can't get on the Xbox, so that's not gonna work.
Yeah, it's, well, they gotta try what they have to try, I guess.
Yeah.
There are certain mods out there that make the game so much better. It's like little things like, you know, the third person camera, your character is kind of off to the left a little bit. You can get a centered third person camera, and you can, if you click and hold the middle mouse wheel, you can spin it round so you can look at your character whenever you want. And there's also, the most important one is the one that removes the invisible walls from the wasteland, because although it's open and there aren't, like, because in Fallout 3, what they would do is they would, especially in the DC areas, they would make big piles of rubble that you could not possibly climb and just make it an invisible wall. Whereas in New Vegas, there is just invisible walls, and you'd be like, I can so get up there, but there's an invisible wall there. So what it does is it removes all those and it smooths out some of the wasteland, so it looks better.
That's cool. My favorite mod is called Console.
Oh,
because then that just makes everything better.
It makes it less annoying to play when you have less patience.
Yeah.
But it does ruin, it doesn't as well ruin the
totally
game.
It breaks the game, but.
Considering you could just, if there's something in front of you that you want to kill, you go into the console, you click on it, you type in kill, and then that's it, they're dead.
Yep.
Although the best command, you should try this, Chad, is you should go into third person camera, click yourself, and then type in sex change.
Oh god. Is it like Oh no, never mind.
It gives you over 9,000 weight to carry. That's what it does.
Oh wow.
No, it doesn't. It changes your sex, obviously.
Yeah. There's a thing like that for Mass Effect 2. It was like a save editor or whatever, and you could change your sex, but it made your character get like totally deformed and weird looking.
I need to buy that game and try it now. Anyway, what have you been playing, Earl?
Good. Well, to me. I honestly have not bought any new games because I'm trying to get through my extensive backlog.
Who does that, really?
I think I already raged on Epic Mickey enough. I could be mistaken. I played the DC Universe Online beta when that was up, and that was a real fun game. It had its share of problems, but it's a beta. You can forgive it. It's a really fun MMO. It's kind of more of an action beat-em-up than it is.
Yeah, I've been watching videos about that, and it looked like it played a lot like Prototype.
I guess. I haven't played Prototype, but it kind of does feel like a crackdown.
Like Infamous,
MMO.
Yeah,
where you get superpowers and you get, you know, like you have free modes of transportation, you can fly, you can have super speed, or you can be an acrobat.
I don't like the fact that PC and PS3 players can't play together, though. That's a bit odd.
Yeah.
It's not a game that, like, I could understand that with a first-person shooter, because obviously the control schemes, they change the game quite a lot. But in something like an MMO, it doesn't really.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm just assuming that Sony couldn't work out servers for both sides. I don't know. What also pisses me off is, I mean, the game's out this week, which is kind of nice because the beta just ended on like Wednesday. But you can't, for the PS3 version, you can't get a lifetime subscription or something like that. I think you can prepay for like a year and get like a $50 saving on the PC version, but the PS3 version you have to pay by month.
Huh.
I mean, granted, I'm not going to buy it because I really hate monthly subscriptions because it kind of makes me feel like I'm obligated to play a video game instead of wanting to play just to play for fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I got my fill of the game. I reached like level 15 and I didn't touch it again. So, but it has some nice voice acting. It's nice to have some DC missions and stuff. And, you know, it's a different take on an MMO. I hope it does well.
The thing, because I've seen this happen to quite a lot of MMOs, is that like you get to a certain point and then all the voice acting stuff goes and there's not as much to do and it's not as exciting. So although it's actually an MMO that I would play, believe it or not, and I'm one person who doesn't like MMOs at all. So it looks interesting. And yeah, I know nothing about DC, so that's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other thing, and this happens with a lot of games, I guess, especially when you have something, is that a lot of the missions are kind of the same thing, just dressed up differently.
Yeah, but you get out with a lot of games.
Yeah, you know, go here, destroy 10 enemies, go there, destroy 10 enemies, go here, create 3 crates, stuff like that. But, I mean, it's done in such a way that I kind of, you know, it's kind of one of those things where the DC-ness of it was moving me along, because I wanted to see who I'd face next.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the boss battles were pretty neat, you know, different too.
Oh yeah, that's something else I played over the break that I forgot about. I played an MMO too.
What was that?
WoW.
You actually went and played
it? I downloaded like the 10-day trial or whatever.
Oh yeah, you said you liked it, didn't you? And I have yet to come over there and kill you for it.
I enjoyed it for the 10 days that I played it, but not enough that I want to subscribe. Like,
yeah. You got an energy system, I guess.
You don't like subscribing.
Like Earl said, I don't like it because it makes me feel like I'm just supposed to play it instead of play it whenever I want to.
Yeah, but what can you do? And I've also been playing Bayonetta on the PS3, which I have to say was a bad decision.
Did you install it?
I installed it recently, but at that point it was too late. It just, you know, how you have one chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
I put in like 6 hours of the game without it being installed. And before somebody's complaints, like, why didn't you install it? I didn't have the room on my PS3 because of the DC Universe Online beta. And once I got rid of the beta, I had the room because the beta took up like 20 gigs. And install file is think, 4 or 5.
That's silly. And yes,
I have a 40 gig PS3, whatever.
You should get a new hard drive for it.
Everybody says that, but I honestly don't have enough PS3 games to care.
Well, you obviously, yeah, but if it's gone to the point where you're experiencing problems, then you should really...
Well, no, I didn't expect, because everybody's like, you know, oh, it's improved, the patch makes it better and stuff like that. And I would really, really hate to have seen what this game was like before they patched it. It's the making of a fine game. It's a really quality game. I've up to like chapter 12, which I think is like the 2/3 through the game. It's just that like the technical issues have gotten to the point where I'm just going to put it aside. And I really don't want to restart it on the 360.
I would lend you my 360 copy if it was in the same region and I had the money to post it to you. But neither is the case, so...
But yeah, it's a fun game. You know, it's very over the top. And it takes joys in that.
It's supposed to, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, like that part where she's having that sexy time pose off with herself, who turns out to be like a witch. I mean, not a witch, like an angel or something. And I find that the game's so over the top that it doesn't really make you feel bad about the fact that you're a witch beating up angels, and technically you're the good guy. What is the sign for?
Oh, no, I'm doing something else, so don't worry.
And, I mean, recently I played Doritos Harm's Way and Crash Course on the Xbox Live Arcade.
They really need to hurry up and fix the online for Harm's Way.
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, they said, because I actually looked it up, the developers said on their own forum that, believe it or not, the more people there are hosting the game, the less likely you are to find one. And you can't find one as it is.
Oh, okay.
I played the game with friends, and it is really fun with friends.
Yeah, I was about to say, I played it, like, we spent all, I think, Thursday night playing. We got all the achievements in the game, and I actually kind of enjoy being a shooter more than I do being a driver.
Yeah, I'm better at being a shooter than a driver.
It's a really fun game. I wish there was more than 3 maps, but what can you do? It's a free game.
It's a free game, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have paid 400 points for that. And the same for Crash Course. I would have paid 800 for Crash Course.
Crash Course is awesome. It reminds me of Wipeout.
Yeah, because we have that over here.
Yeah, it's so awesome. The only thing is, and again, it's a free game, so you can't really nitpick, is I wish that when you were playing with friends that it wasn't just like some cardboard cutout you see.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that you can screw each other over. Like, you know, push somebody in the water.
I thought it was really nice that the games aren't flooded with advertising either.
That was like, the other thing, is like, it's
Harm's Way only has the Doritos logo in the credits.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a Doritos game, but I don't honestly ever see any Doritos advertising.
And I suppose not even Dash of Destruction was that heavy on advertising either. The Doritos truck. The Doritos truck, and that was it.
So, yeah, oh, I forgot they did Dash of Destruction. So, yeah. Doritos has a, I mean, honestly, if I was them, it's either that I could charge like 200-300 points, or I start giving them away.
It's an ad campaign. I want more games from them, you know. It's an ad campaign I can get behind.
Yeah, and they're fun, they're enjoyable, they're simple, they're different for the most part. And honestly, I wouldn't have mind paying for some of these games. I think it would have been harder to get friends to get them, but...
I just went, hey, you want a free game? And like, yeah, I want a free game.
I mean, you should download these games. They're fun. They're like, whatever. I mean, just download it. And we spent like 6 hours playing the 2 games, so. So, yeah, I think that's it for everything I've been playing recently. So, does anybody have anything to add? I mean, I guess everybody wanted to hit the sure run-in. But,
and CES happened, so we can finally talk about the PlayStation phone that got announced, right?
Yeah, woot woot.
But it's not a PlayStation phone.
It's not announced. I do like how there's pretty much everything known about the phone. I think there's even video of the phone being used. But Sony won't say it exists yet.
Yeah, but the people are calling it the PlayStation phone, which implies that it is a PlayStation portable that makes calls, when it is not that at all.
I don't think that's necessary what it is.
It's not that at all. It's an Android phone with...
Well, it's not anything yet. It doesn't exist.
Well, the demos that have been shown, because it's Xperia branded. So it's not a PlayStation phone, it's a Sony Ericsson Xperia phone with PlayStation buttons on it. And even the demo the video that was given has the phone and none of the buttons work because obviously it has to have the games that support it.
So I'm not sure. I just find it funny that Sony's really, really, really resistant to say anything about it. Any part of Sony, not just, you know.
Yeah, but we all know that Sony is bad at keeping secrets.
Yes, which is why I had my OV article this week. Yeah, Sony is terrible at keeping secrets. But at some point you have to, I mean, because people have been talking about the PlayStation phone or whatever you want to call it since last year. There's been pictures and stuff of it since last year. There's videos of it now. At some point you have to say, we're not going to have a surprise unveiling of this device.
It's been reviewed.
It's just kind of get it out there now and say we have a phone in the works. I mean, I don't know when they, unless they plan on holding it off until GDC, it makes no sense not to have announced it at CES. I don't know what other big show they have between now and GDC.
No, I don't need either.
Yeah, I got nothing.
So, I guess they plan on having some press conference to announce something that everybody knows exists, which would just be awful at this point. I honestly don't know
I honestly think they're waiting until they have software behind it, because at the minute, that's not what they have.
If they position it as a phone that has a PlayStation brand, then that's different.
It has Xperia branding.
Yeah, which is my, it's not, it's, come on, no, what Apple games are really front and center? Yeah, you can say Angry Bird and Fruit Ninja and stuff like that, but that's not the type of game that I think you would get gamers excited with.
Yeah, but the problem is
I don't know, I get excited with both of those.
Android's not a great gaming platform anyway.
I mean, it does Angry Bird.
And Angry Birds, games like Angry Birds and Touch and Fruit Ninja aren't games you play with buttons.
Yeah, which I don't know why people want a phone that replicates your DS or your PSP to begin with, because
if people do at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess it depends, because right now I just got a Droid for Christmas, and even then the battery life is awful when I'm not even using it for anything intensive. So I can't imagine if you're using
it this way. Nowadays even handheld portable gaming consoles have horrible battery life. 3DS.
Yeah, we were going to get there. Somebody's jumping the gun. Let's continue with CES, though. The other big word that Sony had... Actually, I shouldn't say the other big word. The big word at Sony was 3D.
Oh, that's...
Sony wants to push 3D?
Sony wants to push gimmicks? What is this?
I don't know what they had that wasn't pushing 3D. They had 3D TVs, they had 3D camcorders, they had 3D laptops.
They did that 3D, like, glasses thing that looked like you were Geordi LaForge, I think his name is.
You mean the one that makes you look like Cyclops?
Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm going with the X-Men reference. But the giant unibeam thing.
Yeah, and it's like 3D headset. It's like, great, so now we've got the Virtual Boy in 2011.
Which is kind of ironic, because they were also pipping glasses 3D at the same time. So... they're all over the place, but yes, they want to push 3D, and it seems like there are only people who want to push 3D. Maybe they have more invested in it than I thought, or maybe they really, really...
They really, really like gimmicks.
But yeah,
I'm sorry, 3D. But 3D will not take off until it's glasses-free.
Even then, I don't think 3D is going to take off. I don't think it's the next big wave that people kind of expect it to be, because... I think most people have turned against 3D because
it's the only reason why people turn against 3D is because it's gimmicky, because it requires the stupid expensive glasses.
Yeah, and it hasn't done anything yet. I'm talking about movies and in games. It's not like there's Avatar and that's it. That's a year old at this point, and Avatar is like the proof of concept, but the only thing that worked so far.
Yeah. I mean, think of it this way: nobody went to see Avatar for the plot.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't have, because there was pretty much not much...
Yeah, but that's because it wasn't made for... Well, although...
well, this isn't an Avatar bashing podcast.
Yeah, whatever.
It can be, but it will not be. Microsoft was also at CES, and they had
PlayStation Home on your 360 with avatars.
They had Avatar Kinect.
Just what I've been wanting for.
Yes, I mean, we've all dreamed of one day having our own talk show with our virtual counterparts and our friends.
Now all we need is PlayStation Home on the PC. Oh wait, they call it Second Life, don't they?
At least that's fun. But yeah, Avatar Kinect was announced, and I assume I can see this doing well, but I honestly don't get the point of it.
What do you mean you can see it doing well?
Because, I mean, honestly, Kinect's doing well, as Microsoft taught it.
But the thing is Avatar Kinect, I don't see what hole it fills.
It doesn't, that's the point. It's like, I guess we didn't have enough ways to communicate with our friends, or we didn't
it's
have
not like
ways
we have
to
social networks, or mobile phones, or email.
Or Skype.
Or
even the iPhone now does Skype, so there's tons of ways to kind of see people if you don't get to see them every day. But I meant it's kind of more in the goofy sense where, like, they have, like, sets where, you know, like, there's the talk show set, there's, like, the bookshop set. So I could see it filling a niche where people kind of do online bookshops or something like that where you meet up, like, once a week in this virtual setting and you discuss something you've read and you have an avatar of yourself on the screen and you can see.
I just see no point in it at all. It's like, let's do it for the hell of it.
Yeah, I see no point in it either, but at the same hand, Microsoft at least is backing Kinect to their fullest abilities, even if they're announcing features that doesn't necessarily improve the console's
work. It would have been really cool if, you know, I don't know if you saw the video, but there was like when he was talking about Avatar Kinect, there was like an Avatar Steve Ballmer on the stage. It'd be cool if it could do that, but it can't.
All right, that reminds me, they were also talking about what the Kinect doing facial features now.
Yeah, but I mean like with the hands and stuff.
Yeah. Well, we could...
So you could actually stand up and see what the bottom of your avatar shoe looks like.
I was about to say, I wish Mike was here, because he actually does have a Kinect, and I wanted to see if he tested out to see if you could see the bottom of his avatar shoe.
Bam!
What else? They announced that Kinect is now going to be with Netflix this spring, which to me kind of reeked of an announcement they were just holding on to so they could announce something.
Yeah.
Because I don't see why that wasn't rolled out when Kinect was launched.
I don't know.
It's not that complicated. Microsoft already has it implemented into their own video players. What else did they announce? There was something... Oh, and Huya Plus, which is nice, but I'm not paying $10 for that on top of the $60 a year I pay for Xbox Live.
And Netflix, then $10, yeah.
And then $10 I pay for Netflix, so that would mean that I'd pay $80 to use this device to watch a bunch of stuff, which, honestly, I can probably download. And probably faster than they upload it to Huya. So, I think that was it.
There was a release date for Fable 3 on PC, if anyone hasn't realized that Fable 3 is not a good game yet. But,
I'm sure there's people who enjoy it. Chad, do you have any comments?
I'm just going to interject here. Someone enjoying a game and a game being good are two very different things.
I can see that, but I would say if you enjoy it, it means it's good to you, which is all that really matters.
I don't know. I've definitely enjoyed bad games before that I knew were bad. I enjoyed the hell out of Haze. I had an awesome time playing that game.
Yeah, I mean, but it's kind of like that it's so bad it's good thing where it's still kind of circling good, just not the type of good that, you know, it's not like, this is a must-play game. It's kind of like, this was fun and goofy, and I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, every game doesn't need to be a AAA production. There are games that are bad, I guess, that you kind of enjoy for that guilty pleasure. I can't think of any that I enjoyed all the time. I'm sure there are some, and there was an announcement of the Tomb Raider collection for PS3.
Are they updating the games at all, or are they just releasing them again on the PS3?
You see, here's the thing. They're re-releasing these games on the PS3 in HD, but I'm almost certain that two of them are available in HD on the 360.
Yeah, but they released them at a time where I don't think the PS3 was either out or.
Well, I mean, they had to be one of them because, I mean, they couldn't have put out two. Well, actually, I'm not going to say they couldn't have put out two Tomb Raiders in that time, but I believe one of them was in 2007 and the other one was in 2000.
It may have been one of them was released on the PS2, but they decided to update for the 360.
I think two of them are released on the PS2, which is why they're doing the HD versions are the PS2 versions. But from what I understand, I've only played Anniversary, I believe, or Legends, whichever one has a ride in the motorcycle.
Yeah.
But apparently they're updating the PS2 version. Which
I saw the announcement and I felt sorry for my friend because one of the reasons why my friend bought a 360 as well as having his PS3 is because of those Tomb Raider games.
So, yeah, what can you do? I like the fact that they're coming out with these HD collections or, you know, these collections of games. But it's kind of getting to the point where you just kind of like they're not special anymore if everybody's doing it.
Yeah. And one thing that started to annoy me is I mentioned back in on an older Steam sale, I bought the Deus Ex collection. And then someone mentioned, was like, oh, is that a HD collection for PS3? What? Because it's got a collection in the name, it means it's HD on PS3 now.
Yeah, that's the other. It's not.
Well, we've been conditioned to expect that at this point. I mean,
I think people are conditioned to expect that on the PS3, but it's really only been three of them so far.
Yeah, but there's three. They haven't been doing them for long.
Yeah, it's the God of War one, it's the Side Collection, and it's the Prince of Persia one.
Prince of Persia one, and Team Ico, and...
Yeah, then you have the Team Ico, the Tomb Raider, the Splinter Cell.
And personally, I don't... these HD collections is just a cheap way of getting more money.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And, again, I'm not going to say... I'm a huge fan of collections. I just kind of wish it was more than like a generation ago. I have like the Sonic collection on the GameCube. I have the Sega collection on the Xbox.
No, I would totally eat up a Time Splitters collection, and you know it.
But yeah, it's just kind of like people like I said, the Tomb Raider games. Two of those games are available on current gen systems. I don't know which games are on the Splinter Cell collection. But stuff like that, it just seems like, especially with Ubisoft and how the Prince of Persia one turns out, it looks like they're just really just trying to find a way to get extra money without doing more work.
Can we talk about the 3DS yet?
Can we talk about the 3DS yet? I'm just trying to make sure that we got everything covered. But
maybe, yes, but it really wasn't a lot of CES.
We can talk about the 3DS now. Preference this by saying that technically announcements for the United States and Europe have not been made and they will be made.
This is Nintendo. Do you expect them to?
They're going to announce it on January.
Nintendo is the only company in the world that can't do simultaneous releases at all.
Well, I mean, for console, that makes sense. I don't know anybody who's done a simultaneous release for consoles.
The games as well, which is a little ridiculous.
I never think it's an issue with them getting it out in time. I always think it's more of a move for them because, like, with Kirby's Epic Yarn, for an example, which came out in October for us, it's coming out next month for you folks. It seems like they're just trying to hit, like, one game a month because they have... What do they have this month?
Yeah, but that's not an excuse to wait 6 months.
It's not an excuse, but for them, it's like when you have so few games to spread out, you spread them out best as you can.
It's still not an excuse because if you're releasing in America, then you can release in Europe.
Yeah, and there's been games that you've got way before us in games. I mean, they've done it. It's not like it's the first time they've done it for generations now.
Just pisses me off.
I'm not saying it's a great habit. I'm just saying it always seems like for them it's a strategy.
Nobody gives a crap about Europe as it is, but at least, you know, Microsoft and Sony can do simultaneous releases.
And that's because they don't have to. I want to say they don't have to position their releases as much as Nintendo does because they have so many third parties that fill the gap. Where with Nintendo, it's always kind of like they're just trying to make sure their lineup has something at all times.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because honestly, like, we're in that situation here where they kind of did everything at the end of the year. There's nothing really for the Wii this month.
The thing is, with Nintendo, is looking at what the 3DS has to offer, I'm going to wait for a 3DS Lite.
See, okay, we're going to start there. Because honestly, this whole 3DS thing just screams there's going to be a 3DS Lite in a year. We'll start with the battery life, which has been announced as...
Of course there's going to be a 3DS Lite in a year, because Nintendo has been releasing handhelds one a year for 3 years now.
But the DSi XL is kind of iffy. I mean, I get what you mean, but I don't count that one.
That definitely counts.
I mean, I get it. It counts. It's like, oh, you wanted a smaller system, but actually what you wanted was a bigger system now. That just seemed really stupid.
Although that bigger system is great for when you're playing demos at like a show.
Fair enough.
It's way easier to play.
Yeah, but if they wanted to do that, they could just keep it as an internal thing.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but I mean, again, I'm not going to... I just had this discussion with a friend. I'm not going to defend them on the handheld things. It's kind of stupid. But this, I think the 3DS, the first one, just kind of screams that you're going to have a much better 3DS in a year with a better battery life, probably a better 3D screen.
It can't get much worse. 3.5 hours on 3DS games.
Well, 3 to 5. And I assume it depends on how you set your 3D, like if you have it at max and full brightness and stuff like that. But yeah,
but
that's kind
of... this device for what it's designed for, you're not going to get as much battery life out of it.
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, this is like PSP territory, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh my god, I remember how awful the PSP batteries were. And I remember how awful the system was at estimating how much battery was left. Like 3 hours, and then 15 minutes later, it's dead.
apparently, you didn't turn down all the settings.
That was on lowest brightness.
But yeah, the 3DS. Right now, it honestly seems like Nintendo is making every mistake possible that they can make with a console. They're pricing it too high. It has a crappy battery.
They give the launch games on nothing to speak of.
Well, I mean,
the obligatory Ridge Racer. I noticed that.
We'll have a discussion about that one another time. But launch systems are kind of always iffy with the titles.
It's always a Ridge Racer.
It's more. I mean, the first year it's pretty solid for Nintendo. I mean, you have 2 Resident Evils. You have Super Street Fighter 4. You have the Ocarina of Time remix, you have Kid Icarus, you have Paper Mario. I mean, there's a ton of quality games. You don't want them all out the first week.
Yeah, but I want at least one.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. We'll see how it goes. I mean, they might announce different stuff for the States and Europe because, you know, not all games cater to that market. The other thing is it seems that the titles might be priced a bit higher than $3.
Yeah, apparently they're going to be $60.
So, at some point, Nintendo has to realize that they're pricing their handheld more than their console, and the games are higher than their console. I think they're just kind of they're riding that DS high, where they haven't been bested in the handheld front in 20-some-odd years, so they think they can do whatever the hell they want.
Much like this Apple behavior, that is.
And I also think that without Sony announcing the PSP, they kind of realize they have the floor open. They could probably drop the price $50-$70 before the PSP 2 comes out. But, were there any positives? I mean, most of the games, like I said, do look really good. I'm tempted to say that some of them even look better than the Wii games. Which I'm sure won't be too difficult to do, but like the Resident Evil games look really nice. I don't know if either of you've seen the trailers for that.
No, I haven't paid much attention.
Well, there's 2 Resident Evil games.
Really, the launch titles.
Well, I mean, again, I look at it as a launch window where you have like the first 6 months to kind of get component software out, and you just want a constant stream of it. Because most of the titles that come out on launch usually aren't the ones that have been worked on for a while. They're just kind of... like, I'm sure you're going to see a ton of stuff that just have gimmicky 3D effects and stuff like that. And then later on, you're going to see games that really take advantage of the 3D and what it's needed for. Because, I mean, you could say that it has a crap... but it has a really, really well thought out library of games so far. I mean, it has Street Fighter, it has Dead or Alive, 2 Resident Evil, Steel Baton, it has Paper Mario, it has a Naruto game.
It has remakes.
It has remakes, which I'm actually not a fan of. Because I was looking at it, and honestly, I think Nintendo has like 4 or 5 games for it. 2 of them are remakes of 64 games. Paper Mario is going to be awesome. There's Still, whatever, the submarine game. And then Kid Icarus, which looks like it needs some time in the oven.
Yeah.
Because it has, like, the... It has the 3D... I mean, it has, like, the rail shooter parts, which look really nice, and then it has the on-foot stuff, which looks like it's going to be a pain in the ass to control, because you use the analog stick, and then you use the stylus to control, like, aiming and stuff.
Yeah.
Which does not look like it's going to be a good time.
Nintendo really need to get it out to the 3DS, out to the expos.
Well, that's what they're doing. That's where they had this huge 3DS event.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the expos that anyone can get into.
You mean, well, I assume, again, like it's
maybe anyone can get into CS, but I mean, like, every opportunity they need to get the 3DS out there now, because people are not going to buy it if they don't see it.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that Nintendo, you know, they have the event on January 19th, where I assume we're going to get prices and dates. And I assume they're going to do the same thing they did in Japan with, like, a 3DS, like, mall tour. I think they already announced something like that. I could be mistaken, where they're just, you know, they're going to have it out there. They're going to have people. There's no way they're going to not get people to have hands-on times with that.
Well, they have to. I mean, that's the only way you can advertise.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, but I'm talking about they did it with the Wii, they did it with the DS, they've done it, they do it, they did it this past holiday. I don't think you have to worry about Nintendo getting it out there for people to try. I don't think it's going to be like events. I think it's going to be more like Nintendo doing their own thing, like a worldwide tour where they take it for like a day or two to a mall or to some like type of festival or fair or something like that, and people can line up and play games like that. I mean, it doesn't really affect me too much because I live in New York City. I can just go to Nintendo World, so I'm assuming, and they'll have more than enough set up. So, yeah.
It better be at Eurogamer next year.
Eurogamer is in the summer, isn't it?
Eurogamer is in October.
Yeah, that's going to... I mean, it's out in March.
Yeah, that's... that. Not over here, it may not be.
Oh, well... I assume they're not going to take it until October.
You know, and even if it is out, it still better be there because, you know, I'm not going to... Although I'm going to wait for a 3DS Lite, I'm not going to buy one without playing it first.
Yeah. Like I said, I will have no problem with it. I wish I could get to the event in New York City on the 19th, but I don't have any press connections. But yeah, I expect good things. See, the software looks good. It's the hardware and the price and everything that's caught me iffy on it. And I'm not a 3D fan at all, so that's never been a big issue with me. Is there anything else you folks wanted to touch on?
I had something in mind, and now I can't think.
Well, in that case, I guess we can end with the news about the new Silent Hill Downpour, is it? Which is for the 360.
Is it made by Americans?
I believe so.
Well, in that case, I know about 10 to 15 people that would not be buying it.
I think it's made by the people who made... Oh, crap, what is it? I want to say the one before that. But it's Wiki It.
Well, because my friends are concerned, if it's not made by the same people who made Silent Hill 2, they ain't going to get it.
Damn it, I'm trying to think of the name. I think it's the people who did... What, Silent Hill 4? No, what is it? Is it Origins?
Do you mean Shattered Memories or whatever it was? The one on the Wii?
No, not the one on the Wii. I know it is not that team. It's Origins, the one that was on the 360 and...
Oh, yeah.
Apparently it's... I'm mistaken. It's a new team. They're based in the Czech Republic.
Oh, cool.
It looks like...
Yeah.
What's up?
No, never mind. I found out something to talk about.
It looks like I don't know. It looks like it's not going to do the whole you have to avoid battles like Shattered Memory and Water Phase that took part into it. Weapons break and stuff like that, so...
Dead Rising.
What's up?
Sounds like Dead Rising.
Oh. Well, we'll see. So, what was the piece of news you found out?
Did anyone see this Razer Switchblade thing?
No.
So, imagine a netbook, a 7-inch netbook that plays games. I took one look at it, I was like, no.
Is that not a handheld?
That just sounds blasphemous on so many different levels.
And it has a special gimmick is this keyboard, right? So it's got a touch screen, and you use it like you would a mouse. And it's got a special gimmick where the keyboard has every key is a screen, and it changes to whatever. So say, for example, you're playing WoW, all your pictures of all your abilities will line up on the keyboard, so the respective keys, and I was just like, no. And then I was watching the video, and this is technical things that only probably I will understand. And they're like, we have partnered with Intel, and we're going to use the Intel Atom processor. And I was like, are you kidding?
Yep, because the Atom's known for being an awesome processor.
Yeah, I know. They put, considering let's put it this way. Intel make processors that take low power, but also aren't designed to do anything like gaming whatsoever. And they put them in netbooks, and they're using them processors. And I was like, you're kidding me, right?
For some reason, the keyboard reminded me of... I forget, is it the ColecoVision? They used to have, like, that controller that you would always have to put, like a placemat on so you know what the buttons did, but each game had a different placemat. So
I think it was,
buttons.
Yeah. And...
yeah.
And
that doesn't sound fun.
And so... So just imagine this, playing a PC game where you're touching the screen instead of using a mouse, and you've got this tiny keyboard with like maybe 30 buttons on it instead of 100 and whatever you get on a normal keyboard, and it's got a low power processor in it, and I'm just thinking, are you kidding? Is it April Fool's or something? This cannot be possible.
I mean, you never know. I mean, OnLive is actually coming out. Or is that already out as an actual?
That's already out.
Yes. I think we have
They were talking about how, it'll be good for PC gaming on the go. And I just sat there and thought, but the whole point of PC gaming is you have really powerful machines and you actually have to be at a desk or something.
I don't think that's always true. I know there's people who play games on laptops.
PC gaming is not designed to be on the go.
I mean, you could play games on the go. I'm not saying that, because I guess it depends on the game, like always, but not all of them you need to, dedicate 3 hours to sit in front of a TV, a computer monitor. I'm sure there's people who play WoW on their laptops or StarCraft.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that because PC gaming has been known for pushing everything, so it's been pushing graphics and,
Oh, I get that, but that's always going forward. I mean, if you have a state-of-the-art computer you can probably play...
Like, the whole idea with handheld is you get smaller... I mean, you can get big games, but they're not about the graphics. The graphics are serviceable, and that's really it. And, handheld games are designed so you can just turn them off at any point, whereas PC games aren't.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm not supporting the netbook. I'm just saying I can see people dedicating their laptop for gaming or something like that.
And but not only that is, when you have a small little device doing something gaming, it will get really hot.
Yeah, that
and
I can
the battery life will be awful.
Well.
So I just looked at it and I was like, nah, this is not possible.
So. Anyhow, I think that should do it for this week's episode. If anybody's got anything else.
No.
Okay, so for Chad and Daniel, okay, this has been New World in
2011 edition.